I want to thank you for your continued prayers. I mentioned last week my younger brother Danny is struggling with an infection in his spinal column, and he continues to do that, taking oral antibiotics, but is under the care of hospice, and we do appreciate all your prayers and concerns. He has struggled with being a spinal cord injured person for about 27 years, a little more than that actually. He has thrived during that time, been fully employed at a local hospital, several local hospitals, in fact, as a social worker, and it's just a great guy, and I have to say that because he's my brother. Beginning today, except for next Sunday, I want to mention I will be at Cedar Kirk next Sunday for our annual all-church retreat, but I begin today preaching a series of stewardship sermons that will last until Stewardship Dedication Sunday on Sunday, November the 14th. Pledge cards have already been mailed to each member of our church, each household. If you did not receive a card, which happens sometimes because we only spend a few pennies sending them by bulk mail, but there are additional cards outside the center door here on the table in the hallway. And so please know you can pick up a card there. But we're not dedicating those cards until Sunday, November the 14th. You can mail them back to the church at any time with your estimated giving for 2022. When I shared recently my plans to preach a stewardship series with one of our members, the person said to me that they remembered a poetic phrase about stewardship, and I said, well, please share it with me. And the phrase that they shared, that's a poetic phrase, goes like this: "Is it by chance or by grand design that writhing and tithing happen to rhyme?" Also had a preaching professor once who said, be careful when you preach a stewardship series in a church, because when you preach on stewardship, your congregation will begin to stew. And I think that's true sometimes. But I hope that's not true of you for the next couple of weeks. It is important, critically important just now for not just our church, but all Christian churches and places of worship to emphasize stewardship, the giving of a percentage of our income to the ministry of Jesus Christ, as the church plans its mission budget for the coming year. And we seek, of course, to prayerfully do that as we hope to emerge fully from this long-lasting pandemic. But giving is important just now as we emerge from this pandemic. All of you in worship and all of you watching online this morning have heard about our efforts to return to in-person worship, to reopen our preschool this fall, which we did successfully. You have seen efforts like starting the children's Sunday school, which began just a few weeks ago. You have seen this year us advertise the garage sale in January, then postpone it because of concerns for the pandemic. And then in May, we had a very successful garage sale. But I can say to you in all honesty that last year and now this year will continue to be a challenge for us as a church as we move forward. I can assure you it is a challenge even now for our nominating committee that is looking for names for people to serve as elder and deacon in the next class of 3 years of service. I believe that this is a challenging time for them this year. It was last year for the nominating committee, and it could be as we come to that last Sunday in January in the coming year and elect officers, that we will elect a partial slate of officers if we do not have a full slate, and then come back later in the year trying to fill it. It is a noble thing to try to elect officers and get people to make commitments during this time. And this is why our stewardship theme for 2022 for the coming year is "Do not grow weary." I think it's very fitting for the time that we're living in just now. That phrase, "do not grow weary," comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, where the Apostle Paul reminds us, he writes, "So let us not grow weary in doing good, doing what is right, for we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And the first sermon in the series this morning is entitled simply, "He's Not Heavy." There are two scripture readings. The first comes from Isaiah 58, and the second is a story that you'll be familiar with from Mark chapter 2. Our first reading in the 58th chapter from the prophet Isaiah is about God's promise to God's people about what they will do and what they can do if they seek God's will. It comes after God has chastised his people in the 57th chapter of Isaiah for their false, insincere religious practices, especially the insincere practice of fasting, which he calls out specifically here. And so listen as I read first the word of God from the prophet Isaiah, beginning in chapter 58, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you will offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the fountains, foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. And then in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 2, the first 12 verses, the story of Jesus healing the paralytic, the paralyzed man. Beginning at verse 1, when he, that is Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Sons, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk?' But so that you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. Oh, gracious God, now as we turn to you for the proclamation of your word, may your spirit rest upon each one of us who have gathered this morning. Each one of us, may your spirit rest upon us who are watching online. May your spirit be upon us to heal us and even to challenge us where we need to be challenged. Help us, we pray, to be steadfast in our hearing, in our believing, and in our living. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. That phrase has symbolized the spirit of a ministry called Boys Town for many, many decades. Boys Town, now known formally as Girls and Boys Town, is a nationally known nonprofit organization for ministry to children and to families. It is very similar to our own ministry called Thornwell Home for Children, supported by this congregation, many Presbyterians, and many churches. But back in 1918, to talk about Boys Town and its origins, there was a boy in 1918 named Howard Loomis, and he was abandoned by one of his parents at the Father Flanagan's Home for Boys, which had opened just the year before. And Howard Loomis, he had polio, and he had heavy leg braces on both of his legs, and walking was very difficult for him, especially when he had to go up and down stairs. And so what happened, soon several of the home's older boys began to carry Howard up and down the stairs in Father Flanagan's Home for Boys. One day, Father Flanagan asked one of the older boys who was carrying Howard Loomis, he says, "Is carrying Howard hard?" And the boy replied, "He ain't heavy, Father, he's my brother." He ain't heavy. That is a phrase that is relevant for each one of us beyond Boys Town. At some point, all of us know this, at some point, most of us have needed to be carried by someone, especially when we were young, carried metaphorically speaking as well. And at some point, we probably in our lives have carried other people. We're human. We all stumble. We stumble in life in some way, and we look to each other when that happens for help. And all of this brings us this morning to this New Testament reading from the Gospel of Mark. And there are some noticeable characters here in this story that I want us to look at very briefly this morning. The characters in the drama, they say it all for us this morning for the message. First, there are the four creative, persistent stretcher bearers. And then there is that paralyzed man who really has no speaking part at all. There are some religious stuffed shirts that are having theological arguments about what Jesus is doing. And then, of course, there is Jesus. Jesus who is always, always with us to pick us up, to dust us off, to heal us, and to challenge us. Let's look very briefly this morning at these characters, because in doing so, we may see something of ourselves. First, see the paralyzed man as the one who has the greatest need in this story. He represents all of us at some point in life. When we get into trouble, it's easy to feel immobilized. It's easy to be paralyzed when we face difficult decisions. What do we do? What do we do next? Will we make it? One man I knew who was I was in ministry in Sarasota, he was used to being in charge as a businessman of everything that happened in his business. And one day he found himself in the hospital for the very first time in his life. And he quickly learned in that hospital that he was not in charge of what was happening to him. He found himself in the ICU, and you know ICU means that there are others who intensively care for us in that section of the hospital. And he had to trust other people for his entire livelihood. And during that time, he began also to trust deeply in God. Have you ever known that experience? Have you ever known that experience when you were at the end of your own energies, at the end of your own resources, and had to turn to others for help? Perhaps there was a time in your life when you had to turn to a stranger for help. I remember when I returned from Edinburgh, I flew in through Boston, and I had a shopping cart with my luggage in it, part of it at least, and I turned around to get something, and all of a sudden the cart was gone. And the cart contained my wallet and the money that I had with me, and there I was stuck in the Boston airport. What was I to do? I had in my pocket a check that was written by the church that I had just left in Edinburgh. It was a farewell gift of about £1,000. And I went out to the curb and talked to a taxi driver. I told him my situation. He must have believed me, and I told him if he would cash this check, I would give him $100 in return. And that stranger, that taxi driver, deposited that check and gave me cash money. And I will forever be in his gratitude. A stranger came to my help. But have you ever known that experience? Were you when you were at the end of your resources and even had perhaps to turn to a stranger for help? That can be difficult. It can be difficult for your pride. I was embarrassed that day when that happened. I was also angry that some of my luggage had been taken. We hate to ask other people for help. We have this sense of independence about us, and it hurts our pride often to turn to others for help. And yet eventually each one of us will have to depend upon someone else. Our paralysis doesn't even need to be a major illness. It doesn't need to be a major upheaval. It can just be a feeling that we have the mountain on our shoulders. Someone called that the Atlas complex. In your own homes in the coming weeks and months, if you see someone in your family who feels like they have the weight of the planet on their shoulders, just ask them, do you have the Atlas complex? That'll start a conversation among you. We may fall simply into a mild depression. It doesn't have to be a large upheaval. A mild depression that settles in over time and seems to take us over. And when those times come, we can use the help of our brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and others. The Christian faith teaches that this helplessness is the way, in fact, we come to God often. It's the way we come to God even when we have sinned. In fact, that is why a lot of people shy away even from Christ and the church. They do not like to acknowledge dependence upon anyone or anything. They don't want to acknowledge their need for a Savior or support from the Christian community or a Stephen minister or a deacon from the church, all of which are ready to help. Just think how many there are, even now in our world, who are wounded physically or emotionally and have become immobilized by their situation, by their circumstances, perhaps because of human indifference, perhaps because of the bureaucracy they face in trying to get something done, or perhaps they are immobilized by defeatism. There are some people today that need our prayers who are struggling with all of these things. Well, so much for this first set of this character, the paralyzed man who lives within us and who lives alongside of us. Let's turn to the religious scribes and Pharisees that are part of this story. I hope they are not typical, but in telling this story in Mark's gospel, they are part of the problem here versus part of the solution. The need of the paralyzed man is invisible to them. They are more concerned to argue with Jesus about whether Jesus is right to forgive the man's sins. And while this powerless man lies right in front of them, they are arguing about religious semantics. And meanwhile, Jesus in this story is going to cure the man, both physically and spiritually. But how often religious folks seem to substitute religious practices and religious concerns with theological arguments instead of helping those in need? In the passage from Isaiah that I read this morning, God calls God's people to help the poor and be the restorers of the community, the restorers of the breach, the restorers of the city streets. Some time ago, I read a challenging statement in the Christianity Today magazine. It was addressed to the Christian church, and this is what it said. I was hungry, and you formed a committee. I was hungry, and you formed a discussion group. I was thirsty, and you sang a song about me. But for all the committees and all the prayers, I am still dying, my brothers and sisters. There is a danger in our time, is there not? Under the immobility that's been forced upon us by this pandemic, that our society and even the church today might suffer from compassion fatigue. And so I say to you, like our stewardship theme, do not grow weary in doing good. For in time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not grow weary in your giving. Well, now let's look at the people in the story we admire. We've looked at the paralyzed man, we've looked at the religious stuffed shirts, and now let's look at these wonderfully creative friends of this paralyzed man this morning. They're carrying him on that mat, sort of a stretcher. And when they found there was no way to get an audience with Jesus because the crowds were pressing in on that house, they hatched a wild plan. I just love this story. They climbed on top of that mud roof. They cut a hole with it, careful not to damage the beams that held it up. They climbed on top. They put the ropes under that stretcher, that mat, and they lowered that paralyzed man down into the lap of Jesus. And in a sense, these four anonymous creative souls are the heroes in this story every time you read it. The paralyzed man, he may have had faith to allow them to attempt this heroic act. He would have to have been courageous to allow them to pick him up like this and to carry him up on that roof. But he did not have the strength to get to Jesus. And so these four did everything. As a matter of fact, in the King James Bible, I love the way it said, it says, this man was born by four. This story reminds us of what stewardship season is all about as a Christian church, that we need each other. And every financial gift, I can assure you, it will count not only for this year, but in 2022. No matter how hard you have to work to make a gift, right? Who would have imagined, who would have believed us if we said a few years ago, we are going to stop passing the offering plate and make you give a gift in every other way, but not during this time of worship? No one would have believed we'd do that. And yet your giving continues to be generous. Do not grow weary in the coming year. I received a beautiful card during this year, and I've received some like it in years past. It simply said this: at a time when I didn't have enough faith of my own, thanks for letting me lean on yours. And I could say that of many of you who have allowed me to lean on you many times in past years. But that's what we are called to do, isn't it? To take turns leaning on one another, providing a shoulder for others to lean on. There is a song by four men, by the Beatles. You know it. It goes like this: I get by with a little help from my friends. And I've always thought that that should be, I get by with a lot of help from my friends, for I certainly do. It takes a lot of help. The ministry and mission and work of our church is fundamentally this very fact: getting by with a lot of help from our friends. It's giving a lift, a caring hand to brothers and sisters who can't make it alone, like on Blanket Sunday, November the 7th, those migrant workers who need our support. It is rising beyond just our own needs to caring and giving for the needs of others in Christ's name. The book of Ecclesiastes, you may want to note this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, this same practical advice is listed there. It reads in Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up his brother or sister. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no other to lift him up. A man by the name of Tim Hansel, he wrote a book some years ago entitled, You Gotta Keep Dancing. Tim lived for years in continual physical pain as a result of falling during a mountain climbing accident. And he said that during that time he had been given a poem that he still carries with him even today in his wallet. It is a simple yet powerful statement of those who are bearers and lifters of others. The author of the poem entitled Sharers is anonymous, but listen as I share it with you this morning, at least part of it. There isn't much that I can do, but I can share my bread with you and sometimes share a sorrow too. And on our way we go. There isn't much that I can do, but I can sit an hour with you and share my laughter with you. And on our way we go. There isn't much that I can do, but I can share my flowers and my songs with you, and I can share my books with you and sometimes share my burdens too. And on our way we go. There isn't much that I can do, but I can share my hopes with you, and I can share my fears with you, and sometimes even my tears with you. And on our way we go. There isn't much that I can do, but I can share my life with you, and oftentimes share a prayer with you, as on our way we go. How often that is the way that Christ heals us and challenges us and renews our lives. He heals the broken because of brothers and sisters that carry us. And then there is one last matter this morning from this passage. There is the final person in the drama. And that, of course, is Jesus. Jesus who is always there. Always. And so what's the message today? The message is this. If you have ever been helped by someone, if you have ever been encouraged, if you have ever been empowered by others, after some paralysis or feeling immobilized because of some decision or circumstances in life, then the message is get busy and give back. Give something back for others. Be a lifter, you see, and not just a leaner. Vow not just to carry a share of your own hurt, but a share of someone else's. You see, when you see others as your brothers and sisters, you find that they are not heavy at all. And then I'm going to close, as I have rarely ever done, by adding a personal word this morning to my younger brother, Danny, who watches us online every week. He corrected me last week, by the way. I said he was 51, and he said, well, he said, I'm just 50, you got it wrong. But he has struggled and thrived, I said this earlier, with 27 years, a little over half of his life with that spinal cord injury. And now at 50 years of age, not 51, Danny, you have never been heavy. You've never been heavy to your wife, Holly, to your family and friends, to your brothers or your employers, or your dear church in Soddy Daisy. You have been and you continue to be our great love and our great joy. And may all of us be able to say, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for this ancient story that has eternal truth for each one of us. Help us, we pray, not just to be leaners, but know that we can be because there are others who are standing by for that purpose. But help us to especially be lifters, to lift others up who need a hand. And may we do so and touch them very gently. And on our way, we go. Amen.